Welcome to iTruth, the teaching ministry of Fellowship Bible Church, Texarkana, Texas. Fellowship Bible Church exists to help believers and seekers become fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. Following is a message delivered by Andy Tuttleby, our student pastor here at Fellowship Bible Church. We trust that it will be beneficial to your walk with Jesus Christ.
You know, Richard always seems to be out of town on Mother's Day, and I'm sensing a pattern. I'm beginning to think he's avoiding it. I think this is my fourth Mother's Day sermon in about 5 years. So I should have this down by now. Thank you. This year it was some lame excuse about Emily getting her doctorate or something like that. I don't know. Whatever. You know, over the past few years I've talked or joked about why men aren't mothers. God knew what he was doing there. I want to say that we've dissected various roles that a mother has. We've looked at the whole how much is a mother worth, which I'm sure you guys have seen the stuff online about all the various roles and things that a mother undertakes. And if you were to pay her for all of those things, you know, the salary is just a whole bunch of zeros with, you know, something in front, obviously. It's just insane. Well, here we are again. We've just come off a 13-week look at the book of Leviticus, so I thought something a little lighter might go over well. My aim, my goal, ladies, is for this to be an encouragement for you. So if I say something that doesn't come across that way, please disregard. Don't take it out on me later on. It's intended to be encouraging. Hopefully that's how it comes across. But I think this is why Richard avoids Mother's Day sermons. Because for a guy, this is just a minefield. If I try to teach you guys or you ladies how it should be done, I'm just going to be met with death stares the whole time. Because let's be honest, us guys, we really don't get it. If I try to encourage you, but sell it short, which I'm bound to, I'm not going to win there either. It's the lose-lose situation that Richard has put me in. Thank you much. I'm sure he'll listen to this later on. So anyway, here goes nothing. Please don't kill me later on. I want to start talking about Navy SEALs. The Navy SEALs are, you know, Richard often tells me that I can go ahead and preach on anything on Mother's Day. He says, it's okay, just do whatever you want. I'm like, no, I can't get away with that. They get one day a year. Us guys have generously given them. And if I talk about something complete, let's talk about Joshua. It's like, wait, really? The one day a year we get and you're going to ignore us? So we're not going to ignore you. But I wanted to start talking about Navy SEALs. The Navy SEALs are one of the elite fighting forces on the planet. Their training methods are world-renowned. And I'm going to go ahead and hit my slides. Here we go. All right. The training methods are world-renowned. They're among the toughest and most grueling ever to be employed. SEAL teams are sent all over the world on the most dangerous missions, often against insurmountable odds. Their exploits around the world, well, most of them are largely classified, so we haven't heard of a lot of them, but what we have heard leave very little doubt that these guys are the best trained and the most effective and best fighting forces out there. And they get the job done. The Navy SEALs, and I was doing a bunch of research on this week, so hopefully I'm going to get it right. But the Navy SEALs have a number or a series of sayings, things that they say to encourage one another, to kind of spur one another on, that sort of thing, just to kind of steel themselves against the various challenges they face. So I want to take a little while and look at some of those. But honestly, what I really want to do is I want to compare that a little bit. We're going to have a little fun with this. We don't have any Navy SEALs or former Navy SEALs here, do we? All right, good deal. Well, as Drew pointed out, you know, you'll probably be pretty safe because everyone has a mother, but not everyone has a Navy SEAL. So I can probably, it's probably a pretty safe bet for me to kind of have a little fun at the Navy SEALs' expense and avoid upsetting you mothers. So this is what we're going to try to do. So the first saying they have is this one here. The only easy day was yesterday. They like to say this to remind themselves, not that yesterday was ever easy, but that tomorrow or today has challenges of its own, and we're ready. We're steeling ourselves ready to drive forward and face them. The saying encapsulates their never quit, never die attitude, nothing is impossible. It's a forward-looking, bring it on kind of phrase that spurs them on to greater heights and toughness. But with all due respect to our fighting forces and the Navy SEALs, and in all fairness, I'm likely to get myself, can we keep this off the recording? Just in case a Navy SEAL listens later, maybe? Okay, but with all due respect, moms have you guys beat hands down. They just don't know what they're talking about. Being a mom is one of the most demanding, exhausting, never-ending, and often frustrating endeavors ever. If ever there was a group of people that needed a series of sayings to encourage them forward, it would be mothers. And the SEALs like to use this, the only easy day was yesterday. They don't know what they're talking about. Can I get a hoo-yah? Oh, I should probably explain this first. Hoo-yah is another saying of the Navy SEALs. It's something that they say to kind of bolster their bravery and encouragement as they head on to things. They use it for all sorts of stuff. It's often used to express enthusiasm. It's used to express agreement. Sometimes it's sarcastic, like when their commanding officer issues a command that they're not thrilled about, but you dare not question your commanding officer. So instead of questioning him, you say, hoo-yah, and it means like, sure, let's go, but I'd rather be doing something else. But I'm not in the mood for another 100 push-ups, so hoo-yah! Let's get going. Now, just to confuse you all a little bit, and I hope I'm getting this right, but I'm sure I'll hear about it if I don't. The Marines equivalent is oorah, okay? And hooah is the Army's similar saying, okay? And all of these responses essentially serve to mean the same thing. They use it for everything. If they get greeted, hey, how's it going? The response is, hooyah! Okay, that's just kind of something that they use to kind of bolster themselves and get going and for a bit of everything. They use it for battle cries when they're going into battle. It's hooyah! Okay, so now for our purposes, I want to focus on the whole aspect of using it as agreement or just, you know, whatever else. So we're going to do a little audience participation thing here. Hopefully we'll go throughout the sermon. At certain times, I'll let you guys chime in a bit. But I'm going to say, can I get a hooyah? And you, there you go. See, you guys are getting hangry. Okay, good deal. Now, this is church, so some of you might feel a little uncomfortable with this whole thing, okay? But just think of it like, can I get an amen? All right? You're just responding in agreement, okay? So if I say anything during my sermon, ladies, for you guys, if I say something that just really encapsulates what you ladies go through, and you're like, oh, amen, feel free to jump out with a hoo-yah. Every now and then I'm going to ask for one, but feel free to chime in even if I don't ask for one. And guys, if you're sitting there and I say something that really reminds you, man, you know what? My wife is the bomb. She's got this. This is exactly, and you want to just let her know that you're tracking. Every now and then you can just hoo-yah. Okay, just throw out a bit of encouragement, and that way you can, kids, you guys can do the same. Just to let your moms know that you guys recognize and acknowledge how hard she works and the things that she does for you guys. Feel free to jump in. Don't go too crazy because we only want to be out by noon. Okay? So you don't want to distract me too much. But while I was reading up on the whole Navy SEAL stuff for this, I was struck by how much they whine about how hard they have it. Now, they're clever. They like to disguise this whining in the form of bragging about how tough they are and how much they have to endure to become a Navy SEAL in the first place. This phrase, the only easy day was yesterday, is classic Navy SEAL. They use it to motivate themselves going forward, but honestly, they don't know how good they have it. Let me give you some examples. They love to tell you about how they have to carry these packs everywhere they go. They do all their training. They've got to do pull-ups with their packs on them. Oh man, it's so tough because we're Navy SEALs. Well, I'm sorry, but does your pack kick you at any point in time, any day or night? Do you sleep with your pack? Oh, wait, you actually sleep? Seriously? Come on. They like talking about their sleep deprivation as some of their training goes. But really, you know what? I dare you, Navy SEALs, to ask any young mother about sleep deprivation. Go on. I'll wait. Yeah. Can I get a hooyah? All right, good deal. All right. They love to emphasize teamwork. So many of their training drills are designed to help them work together as a team. And this apparently is supposed to talk, again, remind everyone about how tough they are. Again, mothers, team? Really? There's more than one of us? Like, come on. There's a lot of running along the beach, burying themselves in sand, sitting in the surf. Honestly, it sounds like more of a vacation to me than anything else. But I can still remember or see the look in my mom's eyes when my dad suggested that we take all of us kids to the beach. And the fear of like, oh my gosh, I'm going to be cleaning sand for weeks. I'm going to have to be digging around. Have you ever tried getting sand out of a five-year-old's ears and nose and other places, which I won't mention? Okay, it is not pretty. And let's be honest, ladies, even a vacation for you guys is not a vacation. Many former Navy SEALs used to mention mealtimes as one thing that kept coming up over and over. The mealtimes were part of the thing that kept them going during training, knowing that just a few hours from now, we would get to sit down and have a meal. And granted, the meal's usually quick. You're usually fighting for your food, but that's what kind of kept them going through the tough training that they would go through. Is that down the road, I'm going to get to eat. Again, Navy SEALs, I ask you, have you ever watched a young mother try to eat? Bouncing a baby on one knee? Trying to keep the kid, feeding the kid in the high chair, make sure that all the food stays on the high chair? For that matter, trying to make sure the kid stays in the high chair. Even the straps, as these guys somehow managed to wriggle free. It's incredible. And trying to get a five-year-old to eat his green beans? Good luck. We used to have a trick that we did for James when he was younger. In Ireland, they called green beans runner beans. And so we told him they make him go faster. And he didn't want to eat them. And so we're like, look, seriously, I'll show you. And so we'd give him a runner bean and he'd eat it, or a green bean, he'd eat it. I'm like, all right, go. And I'd set my clock and I'm like, go, run around the house. Click. He'd run around the house. He'd fly around. He'd come back. I'm like, wow, that's not bad. 36 seconds. He's like, whoa. I'm like, here, have another one. See if it makes you go faster. And each time, miraculously, the time got shorter. 34 seconds. Whoa. Have another one. Before he knew it, he'd eaten his whole green beans. Incredible. Moms are very inventive. So, hooyah. There you go. Thank you, James. All right. And then there's the bell. Now, ladies, try to contain your frustration here. When Marines or not Marines, Navy SEALs are in training, their week four of training is called Hell Week. I can say that in church because Jesus did. Hell Week. It's 5.5 days of sheer, well, you know what. And if any time during this 5.5 days, a recruit decides that he's just had enough, he can't deal with it anymore, he's not going to make it, he can go and ring the bell 3 times and quit. And he's done. And he can go home to his mama. Last I checked, and correct me if I'm wrong, and I'm going to want to hooyah out of this, but there ain't no bell for a mother. Can I get a hooyah? All right. You guys are on track with this. This is good. The Navy SEALs do not know how good they have it. 5.5 days of Hell Week? How about 12 years? And then they become teenagers. You know, Galatians 6. We're going to move on to this one. Galatians 6 says, let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Notice what it doesn't say. And this is hopefully where some of the encouragement comes from here. It doesn't say, let us not become weary by doing good. Doing good, by definition, is exhausting. It's often thankless. And possibly never more so than being a mother. It's from the moment you start, it's never ending. I thought about putting a year on it, 18 years, but it doesn't stop there. Your own kids grow up and have kids of their own. You're still on call. You're still on duty. It's never ending. And it's exhausting and it's thankless. Paul writes this in encouragement to the church at Galatia to continue to do good to those around them, those that they meet, those that they come in contact with. There's a reward at the end. Ladies, your work, while exhausting, is not without reward. And I'm not just talking about the warm fuzzies you get from watching your kids grow up and them returning the love back. It's much, much more than that. This verse talks about how at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. And for as we have opportunity, let's do good to all people. This is the beautiful thing of how God has set up the family. The effort and the work that you invest in your kids will reap a harvest, not just for you and for your family and for your kids, but for the world that God wants to impact through your kids for the sake of the kingdom. As your kids grow, they will shine Christ's light of love to those that they come into contact with. And God is the one that will reap the reward of that. Second phrase that the Marines have, and I almost don't need to. Do I even need to? Get comfortable with being uncomfortable. A lot of the Navy SEAL training is designed to break them down physically, mentally, and emotionally, and then build them back up even stronger at the other end. The idea is to develop an attitude that embraces discomfort in order to achieve the mission. SEALs repeat this often as a way to psych themselves into expanding their comfort zone. Again, though, no offense to the Navy SEALs, but I really don't think they know what they're talking about. You want to talk expanded comfort zone? Ladies, you take the cake. Carrying a growing child for 9 months while it kicks, changes your eating habits, makes certain foods just not taste good to you, and have weird cravings for random stuff going on in there. Delivering that baby while your husband valiantly attempts to give you the lamest pep talk ever. Strapping that kid into a car seat outside the hospital, knowing that your world will never be the same again, and that in reality, in many ways, your life will never be yours again. From that moment on, you spend your time being spat up on, peed on, having to deal with exploding diapers, yanked on, tugged at, slept on, drooled on, barraged with questions, which then is followed up by being ignored, argued with, or challenged by someone with zero life experience on everything, pushed to your limits and then some, expected then to cook, clean up, feed, read to, put to bed, sing songs to, calm nightmares, and a million other challenging things in between. And that's just the first few years. I don't have time to talk about all the emotional wear and tear that comes along with all of that. SEALs talk a good game about being uncomfortable, but until you've been a mother, you don't have a clue. Can I get a hooyah? Discomfort is something the SEALs adopt for a season, but for a mom, uncomfortable is the new normal. And the amazing thing is they seemingly take it all in stride. But guys, don't be fooled. Kids, don't let them hoodwink you. They may make it look easy, but the servanthood that you are seeing on a 24/7 level is incredibly selfless. It takes incredible self-discipline, and it does not come naturally. You are watching worship in action. Romans 12:1 says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper act of worship." Mothers, this describes you. This is you. Your whole life's mission as a mother is about laying your body on the line and offering yourselves in sacrifice for others. And it never stops. And the sad reality is most of us guys never take enough time to actually really notice. Our kids don't either, because we're too wrapped up and caught up in doing our own thing often, half the time. Now, some of us help here or there. Some of us are a little more tuned in and dialed in than others. But in general, we have absolutely no clue just how selfless you guys are. And in many ways, part of what I wanted to do today was just to say thank you. And I'll get to that a little bit later on. The next phrase they have, and again, if you've had kids, you know all about this. No plan survives first contact with the enemy. This is a little bit like Mike Tyson's quote that it's like, everyone comes with a plan until they get punched in the mouth. Okay? The phrase kind of speaks for itself. Navy SEALs are trained to adapt on the field of battle, because you never quite know what you're going to face. And against enemy forces and overwhelming odds, Navy SEALs are some of the best in the world. Kids, however, think fast on their feet. But moms are faster. Can I get a hoo-yah? As little sinners, our kids naturally push back on any of our attempts to point them towards the ways of the Lord. It's just natural within them. Staying ahead of them and pointing them in the right direction through discipline, love, explanation, teaching, and applying of God's word is critical towards their spiritual growth. My wife, Elisa, used to be an English teacher. Words were kind of are her thing. She loves to read. But at times, James used to push her to her limits. One of his favorite things to do was to play with words. He said, I can remember when he was about 3 years old and he was jumping on the bed. And Elisa heard the spring squeaking up and down. And her mom radar went off. Woo-hoo! Danger. She comes flying in. She sticks her head in the bedroom and says, James, quit jumping on the bed. The kid never missed a beat. In between the springs, he says, I'm not jumping. I'm bouncing. Quit bouncing on the bed. I'm not bouncing. I'm hopping. Quit jumping, bouncing, hopping on the bed. I'm not hopping, I'm leaping. And it's like, it went on. And Elisa's racking her brains for more, you know, she's like, how many words does this kid have for doing what he's doing that he's not supposed to do? He would do the same when he was in the high chair eating. He'd start banging on the high chair, making his food dance its way to the floor. Predictably enough, James, stop banging on your high chair. I'm not banging, I'm tapping. I'm tapping, hitting, thumping, drumming, whatever. Being a mom is tricky because these kids are sharp and they think on their feet and they're constantly trying to think and come up with ways to subvert and get around and disobey and disregard. Not just you, but ultimately obedience for the ways of the Lord down the road. Raising a family is a constantly challenging and evolving endeavor. It's tricky. As your family grows, the dynamics change. Elisa used to always say that when we went from two to three kids, we went from playing man v. man to zone defense. As your kids grow, the ways you relate to them change. It's a constant state of adapting and trying to stay ahead of the various situations that may arise that test us and test our kids, but also provide opportunities for spiritual growth. The older your kids get, the more challenging these become to navigate, but we know that the trials produce perseverance, and the testing of our faith and our kids' faith produces maturity in the Lord. Wise mothers are masterful about shielding their kids from dangers when necessary, but allowing them to learn to trust the Lord through difficult times when appropriate. It's not an easy process. Rolling with the punches with the best of them, moms have this incredible ability of using the various situations that come up to either discipline their kids or to teach them how to trust God through a difficult time. You can't go in with a plan. Well, you go in with a plan, but that plan changes. You have to adapt. You have to be at a shift. You have to be at a change course. Ultimately, to get to the ultimate goal, which is to raise godly kids. Mothering is discipleship. This next one, I'm going to actually cheat a little bit. They have this phrase that if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. And essentially what the phrase means is that if you're not willing to cut corners, cross lines, push the boundaries, then you're going to lose. And if you lose, you're not trying. For a Navy SEAL, failure is not an option. In combat, the larger force often dictates the rules. And with Navy SEALs, they are almost always the smaller force. To win, they often need to break the rules, push the boundaries. Obviously within the rules of engagement, but they have to use certain tricks and certain technologies to get around the challenges that they face. The thing is, there's no real way to cheat as a mother. There are no shortcuts. Oftentimes it can feel like you're not getting anywhere with your kids. Or oftentimes, as my wife has often said to me, and we've talked about, she says, I feel like I'm doing it all wrong. They're not responding. I can't even get them to pick up their socks off the floor. How can I get them to walk with God? It's a challenge. I think every mother has probably at some point in time felt like a failure. So I'm gonna actually cheat on this one. I'm going to change it to, if you ain't failing, you're not trying. And what I want to talk about briefly is, I call it failing faithfully. For the Navy SEALs, failure is not an option. For moms, failure or feelings of is pretty much a given. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands because I already pretty much know the answer. Everyone in here has felt like a failure when it comes to raising our kids. But mothers carry that weight much more so than us guys tend to do. It's a part of the job description. My parents tried many times to have family quiet times with my two brothers and I and my sister. I remember them well. The main things I remember are the ways that we tried to subvert that and distract and goof around. And my parents would try. They tried many, many times. And they would get going for a couple of times doing it, and then they'd just give up. And in a few months, they'd come back again and try again. And then they'd give up. And then they'd come back and they'd try again another 6 months after that, and then they would give up. And as a kid, I never really felt bad about that. I probably should. Maybe I do now. But what I do remember is this, is that they kept trying. And the overall impression of that for me was that the things of the Lord are important. They're important to my parents, and over time they became important to me. Failing isn't necessarily a failure. Failing to try is. We are mothers, you guys know, you guys are faced daily with the temptation to just kind of let things go, to let things slide, to give up. And you've got to pick your battles, there's no question. But I want to really encourage you guys, don't give up. Your kids want to see and need to see you keep trying and need to keep you see trying and keep failing. The failing isn't the problem. The more you fail, the more you have tried, and that is what will stick with your kids down the road. Proverbs 22 says, train your child in the way that he should go, and when they're old, they will not depart from it. This is obviously a general principle, but look at the way it's worded. Train your child in the way that he or she should go. And when they're old, they will not depart from it. Sometime down the road, they will not depart from it. But for now, your kids will push back, argue, complain, gripe, disobey, and ignore you. That's the gig. So ladies, next time you feel like you're doing it all wrong, or you must be doing it all wrong, remember that the trying is what they'll remember, and just keep going. Stay focused on Christ, who for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who faced such opposition from sinners. Yours, in your case, little sinners. So that you may not grow weary and lose heart. To the untrained eye, the cross appears as a symbol of shame and failure. But we now see the cross as a symbol of victory. Symbol of what Christ did for us and his love for us. God makes himself strong in our weakness. So lean into that. Last one I'm going to talk about is mission critical logistics. And this really isn't as much of a saying as just one of the phrases that they use. Generally speaking, a Navy SEAL team is made up of 16 members. And those members can split up into various different forces depending on what they need to. They can do two groups of eight. They can do one group of 16, four of four, or sometimes they can split into sniper and spotter units of two each. Okay? Each group of 16, each team of Navy SEALs has people backing them up. And generally speaking, they have a team of upwards of about 200 support personnel backing them up on any mission that they encounter and go into. That support ranges from tech support, air support, analysts, drones, ammunition drops, exfil plans, extraction vehicles, command centers, even a little bit of kind of diplomatic stuff mixed in there. It covers everything to back them up so that whatever these SEALs may encounter on the mission, they've got some way of helping them and getting them the support that they need. Men, this is where you guys come in. And I hate to break it to you ladies. You guys didn't get a support staff of 200. You got one. And oftentimes, it's a sad, sorry excuse. I'm talking about my two. There you go. Guys, it's a partnership. We're not just along for the ride. We're not just, and oftentimes our wives refer to us this way, but we're not just one of the kids who needs to be trained along with the rest of them. We're supposed to be in the trenches, in the middle, providing the support, helping out, and not even helping out, side by side, fighting along with them to tackle this incredible gift that God has given us of children and raising them the way that they should be raised. Just as our wives serve us and our kids, we are supposed to be here to serve them. Guys, you can't come home and just switch off. You may have worked hard all day, but so has your wife. Come home, switch on. Tune in. Figure out how you can support her and love her and help her and serve her. Serving, putting others first, forgiveness, love, encouragement are all the things that we should have learned as believers. It's all of the message of the gospel. It's all the things that we are told to learn from Christ and to put into practice. And marriage is this perfect crucible that God has given us to enact that and to learn and polish off the rough edges of how to put that into practice. Our wives may be blowing the Navy SEALs out of the water, but they need our support and encouragement. And if the Navy SEALs get 200 support personnel, your wife is going to need some backup every now and then. You're it. Don't make her have to ask for it. Learn to anticipate her needs. And not just today. I say, I feel bad that we've given you guys one day a year to honor you. It should be a 365 day a year kind of a thing. Can I get a hoo-yah on that one? No, that was lame. Come on. Man, especially, you guys need to jump in on this. Can I get a hoo-yah? That's better. All right, good deal. Kids, young people, don't make it harder than it already is. You have a role here too. Help where you can. Cooperate when this weird discipleship program called family takes place. Obey willingly and cheerfully, even when you don't want to. Work on developing a positive and a good attitude. Allow Christ to mold your heart. Your parents have your best interests at heart, just as God has their best interests and your best interests. Work and cooperate with the program. And ladies, your ultimate support staff, the one that really matters, is God himself. 2 Peter 1:3 says this, "His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. It goes on to talk about the promises that He has given us and how that we can lean in and trust those promises and claim those promises for ourselves. Ladies, find the time to tap into that power. I know motherhood does not give you a lot of time to yourself. Try to carve it out. Carve out what you need. Years ago when my girls were younger, quite a bit younger, I bought them a Francesca Battistelli music album. It was probably one of the first Christian albums that I'd given them, and I did it deliberately because I wanted them to learn to enjoy Christian music. Not that they can't listen to anything else, but I wanted Christian music to be an influence on them. She has a song called When the Crazy Kicks In, which, if you've ever seen the music video, has an incredibly touching opening start to it. It's very, very cool. It's a mother creeping down. She's got curlers in the whole bit. She gets her coffee from the thing, and it's dark. It's early in the morning, and she's sneaking downstairs. And she sits down at the table with her coffee cup and her hands wrapped around it. And here's what she says to start it off. She says, "Here I go tiptoeing to the kitchen. And don't you know, crash goes the coffee cup. My only chance to be still and listen. Lord, don't let the kids wake up. A little time with you is the only way to get me through the day." And then it kicks into the chorus when the crazy kicks in, which is then, and at that point in the music video, the kids come downstairs, the husband walks in, he wants sandwiches to go out to work, and then the crazy starts, and the day has begun. Ladies, find time, whether it be early in the morning or when your kid's down for a nap, if they still do that, whatever, to find time to spend time with the Lord, because that's where you're going to refuel and give you the energy and focus that you need to continue doing this incredibly challenging but rewarding task that God has granted to you guys. And don't forget this, that your first priority is to be a committed follower of Jesus Christ. Mothering, or motherhood, or whatever the way you phrase that, is merely, or not merely, but it's just one expression of that relationship. But what an expression. The sacrifice and servant attitude and example that y'all are to us may be the closest model of being Christ-like that we have. It's just right under our noses, and so we tend not to notice it or acknowledge it near enough. As I say, personally, I think y'all should have at least a Mother's Month, or maybe we just call it Mother's Year all the time. And in case my mom's listening to this podcast later, I just want to say thank you, Mom, and I love you. I didn't recognize it at the time for the value that it was, but looking back, I do now. And Elisa, the same goes for you. I love you and thank you for what you do for our family and for our kids and for me. Can't begin to express my appreciation enough. So here's what I want to do. Justin's going to come back up here. We got one more song to close. Rather than me closing us in prayer, I thought I'd let the men lead. And so if families, you guys can gather together, and let's just take a few minutes just to thank the Lord for your wives, for your moms, for the ways that God has kind of blessed you guys in that regard. So guys, take charge. Call your family over. Get them over. We can spend 2 or 3 minutes, and then Justin's going to lead us in worship for the last song. Mm-hmm.